Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. This week's parsha is Parshas Shmini. And in Parshas Shmini, we talk about the kosher animals and the unkosher animals. In order to be a kosher animal, the Torah tells us that the animal has to have split hooves and chew its cud. My friend says, Parshas Malageira. If it doesn't have those simanim, then the animal is not kosher. In addition, we learn about the fishies. In order to be a kosher fish, says the Torah, the fish needs to have kaskesis and snapir. If it doesn't have snapir and a kaskesis, snapir are fins, kaskesis are scales, it's not a kosher fish. That's the definition of a kosher fish. Rashi in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Ches, brings from the Medrash. The Medrash says that the Torah tells us that there are certain animals that have only one simen, and these animals are not kosher. So Rashi brings from the Medrash, let's say an animal has no simanim. Is it then kosher? So Rashi says, Kal v'chomer. If it has one siman tyra, it's not kosher. So certainly if it has no simani tyra, it's not kosher. That's the Kal v'chomer, which is brought by Rashi. So the Torah first talks about a gomel. A gomel is malageira, but it's not mafris parsa, so it's tameh. A shafran is malageira, does chew its cud, but it's not mafris, doesn't have split hooves, it's tameh. Arneves, chazir, so all of these have one simon and not the other. What about if it has no simon? So Rashi says it's pushat the kal v'chomer. Ma, if it has one simon, it's not kosher. Certainly if it has no simon, it's not kosher. That's Rashi. But we have to understand this Rashi better, because in Pashtus, you don't really need a kal v'chomer for this. There's no kal and chomer. It's not that one siman is good, and if one siman, which is something, doesn't work, then no simanim should certainly not work. Why? Because what's the idea of two simanim? Two simanim means either you got it or you don't. If you don't have two simanim, then the animal doesn't make the cut. if I can use a pun. If the animal doesn't have two simanim, then it's not a kosher animal. So my nafkamina, if it has one simon, if it has no simonim, it's not really a kal v'chomer. For Rashi, it seems that one simon is better than no simonim. And if one simon, which is better than no simonim, isn't kosher, certainly no simonim isn't kosher. That's very schwer, because I would think that one simon and no simonim are really the same. They both equal zero, because you need two. It's like two eidim. If you need two eidim, you have one eid. It's nothing. The Gemara says, M'sachem and Kufyut Gimel Amid Beis. That if you have a person who testifies about his friend, Yechidi, that he saw Dvar Erva, something inappropriate in his friend, and he testifies alone, he's a Mosi Shemra. What do you tell you? There's no benefit. You're not helping anybody. Sometimes one aid is Machai Veshvua. That's something else. But if there's no benefit in the testimony of one aid, it's garnished. You better not say. So here also, the person who is the animal that has only one simen, it's just as if it has no simanim. It's not a kal v'chomer. No simanim is nothing. And Rashi says it's a kal v'chomer. Ad kedei kach. There's a kasha in the Mishneh Lamelech. He says that we know ein onshin min hadin. You're not allowed to punish due to a kal v'chomer. So if we pask in ein onshin min hadin, so it's a machlokas in the Gemara, but if we pask in ein onshin min hadin, then here, you're onish min adin. If somebody eats this unkosher animal with no simanim, it's only learned out of a kal v'chomer. So how are you allowed to punish? So my Rebbe, Rav Zev Klein Shlita, just put out a new sefer on the parsha, which I want to give it a plug. The Nachlas Tzvi, which are halach ginyanim on the parsha. If you like the Rav Asher Weiss's Shiur Mersfar and Minchas Asher, it's the same type of genre of sugiyas in the parsha. So here, there, and that sefer, and Parsha Shemini, he's Mechadish Teretz to this Kasha, which, actually, if you listen carefully to the Shir, you might be able to come up with it yourself. But that's not what our task is to deal with. But I just wanted to show you that this is really learned by the Mefarshim as a Kal V'chomer Mamish. But we want to understand, why is it a Kal V'chomer? Why is zero any worse than one? They're both worth nothing. Because in order to be a kosher animal, you need two simanim. So in order to answer this question, we're going to go to the sefer Or Avram. It's written by Rav Avram Gurwitz, who is a Rosh Yeshiva here in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, and one of the Brisk Yeshivas. They have the main Brisk Yeshiva, and then they have all these upstarts, these competitions, Kina Sofrim Tarba Chachma. So this is like the Brisker competition yeshiva for the other Brisker yeshiva. So he has many, many Sfarim, or Avram, very, very prolific author, a great Baal Mechadesh. So he presents in Parsha Shmini and Tej Kufnun Gimel in his Sefer and Vayikra the following approach to answer this question. Later on, in the next Pasuk, in Pasuk Tes, Perakit Aleph, it talks about fish. In order to be a kosher fish, what do you need? You need to have a snapir and a kaskesis, fins and scales. So the Gemara in Chulin, Samach Vav Amud Beis, and Nidan and Aleph Amud Beis says that if it has fins and it doesn't have scales, then you can have such a reality. Sometimes it has fins and not scales. But it can never be that it has scales and not fins. If it has scales, if it has kaskeses, it definitely has snapir. That's the klal. Kol sheyesh lo kaskeses, yesh lo snapir. If it has scales, it has fins. V'yesh lo snapir, v'ein lo kaskeses. Sometimes it has fins, but it doesn't have scales. But if it has scales, it automatically has fins. So the Gemara asks the obvious kasha. So why write both? Just tell me that it has scales and it doesn't have fins. And that's enough. Because I know that if it has scales, it's a kosher animal. So the two simanim to be a kosher fish are scales and fins, kaskesis and snapir. But since if it has kaskesis, it automatically has a snapir. Just tell me kaskesis. I'll look for the kaskesis in Shalom Al Yisrael. So why does the Torah have to tell us both? So the Gemara's answer is Yagdil Torah v'Yadir. In order to show the Torah is great, to enhance the Torah. What does that mean? So parenthetically, we're going to give an answer of Derech Halamdus. But I heard many years ago that the Eretz Tzvi, Rabbi Tzvi Frum, I heard from Mori Rabbi Shlita, told the Rebbe, that Rabbi Tzvi Frum answered this kasha, what's the Yagdil Torah v'Yadir? So here, the Mishnah is telling us a klal, that if it has scales, it automatically has fins. But if it has fins, it might not have scales. So what happens if somebody finds a fish that has scales and doesn't have fins? So it looks like the Torah Chas V'Shalom isn't true. And how is Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to know all of the fish in the world? There are a lot of fish in the world. Was Moshe Rabbeinu have a PhD in marine biology? No. How is he supposed to know? And even if he does, he's seen all the fish. The answer is that the Torah is divine, and therefore Hashem can say that if it has scales, it automatically has fins. Nikuda, that's Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. That's what the Torah told us both Simana. Even though Kaskesis would have sufficed. So we have to understand now a different derech, what it means in the Gemara, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Why the Torah has to tell us both Simanim? The Mishnah said, the Torah says Kaskesis and Snapir. Just tell us Kaskesis. And you don't need to know Snapir because if it has Kaskesis, it automatically has a Snapir and it's automatically kosher. So just tell me Kaskesis, just tell me the scales. Now what's also interesting is that in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us in Daf Mem as well, there are other Simanim to determine whether or not a fish is Tamei or Tor. How do you know if a fish is not kosher, if it's Tamei? If its head is sharp. If it doesn't have a spinal cord, it doesn't have a Chut HaShidra. So we have other simanim to tell us whether or not a fish is tamei or tar. So why did the Torah tell us those simanim? So just madach a snapir, which we don't need to know because even if it don't tell us a snapir, just knowing whether it has a kaskesis is enough to tell us that it's kosher. And yet it wrote snapir anyway. So why didn't the Torah write the other simanim as well that the Gemara tells us? Sharp head, no spinal cord. No chut hashidra. So why does it only choose? Why does the Torah only choose to tell us kaskesis and snapir? So in order to answer this question, we need to go into a famous Maharit. The Maharit in his tshuvas in Chelek Aleph Siman and Aleph makes the following chakira. Siman or siba. You have a young man who's reaching the age of godless or a young woman, and we know that there are simanim on the body, Cyrus, that show that a person is a gadol, and they're also shanim. You need to reach years. So the question is, are shanim and simanim sibas? Is that what makes the child into an adult? Or are they simanim? Are they indications that we know for other reasons the child is an adult? What gives us an indication that the child is an adult is simanim. But the simanim don't make the child into adult. A child is an adult for other reasons. Just the indication that those other reasons are present, the way we know that the child is an adult for us, the simen, is the shanim and simanim. However, that's not what makes the child into an adult. Or no. What creates adulthood is simanim and shanim. We have this chakir in many other places. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezakemi and hamotzi l'or, a sefer that I'm working on. So we have B'siyata Deshmaya, a very long article on this topic of Simen or Siba. So I don't want to give it all away now. Then it's not going to be fun, and I'm not going to sell the tens of thousands of copies that I never dreamed in a million years I would sell anyway. But anyway, it's obviously a not-for-profit endeavor. So chas v'shalom, one shouldn't think otherwise. In any event, but I still don't want to give everything away. Also, if I would start talking, I would never end, and we never get to the teretz of our kasha on the Rashi, which is really what we're here to explain. But there's another instance. Shalosh kochavim. We know that there are three stars in the sky, and we know that three stars in the sky means that it's nighttime. Is that a siba? Is what makes nighttime three stars? Or is that a simen? That really it's nighttime for another reason. But the way we know that it's nighttime, the indication is the three stars, but that's not what makes it nighttime. That's another example. Rabbi Chana talks about that in its Kovetz Shiurim. And my Mori Rabbi, the Talmud Rebbe Shlita, I heard before Pesach in Ashir, he used this chakira about Haseva. We know that we recline on Pesach Derech Eres. So is Derech Eres the Siba or a Simen? In other words, is because it's Derech Eres, that's the cause, that's why we have to recline? Or no, if you're reclining Derech Eres, that's a Simen that you're reclining in the right way. But it's not the Siba. So, L'may Nafkamina. So we know there's a famous machlokas between the Rav Yah and the other Rishonim brought by the Torah. Do we have to do a seva b'zman hazeh? The Rav Yah says no. Why? Because b'zman hazeh, it's not derech eres to recline. It's not the way free people eat. And according to the other Rishonim, we still recline b'zman hazeh. So maybe nechelku b'chakira hazot, that the Rav Yah holds that it's a siva. The reason we recline derech eres, the reason we recline is because it's derech eres. But since today there's no derech eres, it's not derech eres to recline that way. So maybe we don't have to recline anymore, b'zman hazeh, because there's no siba. The siba of derech eres doesn't apply. But if you hold, like the other rishonim say b'zman hazeh, you have to recline, because the derech eres is just a siman that you're reclining in the right way, but it's not the siba. So even though b'zman hazeh, clearly it's not derech eres anymore, that's not the way free people eat, you still have to do it. Because that's just a siman, the way people used to recline derech eres, that's the way you're supposed to recline. But that's not why we're reclining. We're reclining for a different reason. For whatever reason, Chazal wanted us to recline derech eres. But that's not, the derech eres isn't the reason we're reclining that way. We're reclining that way for a different reason. Just the siman that we're reclining in the right way is derech eres. And therefore today, even if it's not derech eres, so we still have to recline. Because the real reason, the real siba still applies. Just derech eres is a siman, we're doing it the right way. That is, if I understood his Yiddish correctly, that's what the chakira was. So, and again, this you can apply this to many, many, many areas of halacha, and it's worthwhile keeping one's eyes open in order to apply this chakira. And again, the siyata d'shmaya, my son's bar mitzvah is next year, so it's supposed to come out by my son's bar mitzvah. So, Chol HaMoed Pesach. You're invited. Chol HaMoed Pesach. Tavshin Ayin. In any event, the Siyata Dishmaya, if I'm still alive then. I don't know. I hope I am. I hope you are. I hope we all are. So, that's the Chakira of the Maharit. Our Shanim and Simanim, is that a Simen or a Siba for Godless? So he says, I decided that it must be a Simen, not a Siba. Why? Because if it was a Siba, it would have been written in the Pasuk. In the Pasuk it only says Gadol and Katan. It doesn't say Shanim and Simanim. So if it was so important that it was a Siba, Tav Pasuk would have said it. So therefore it's only a Simen, and the child is an adult for another reason, just the Simen that the child is an adult is Shanim and Simanim. And the reason is because it's not written in the Pasuk. And he brings a raya that it's not, another raya that it's not a Siba, from an Islandess. Because an Islandess is a girl who never really gets her Simanim, and yet she could become an adult at a certain age. So therefore if it was a Siba, she never should become an adult. But since it's only a simen, you're right, we don't have that simen, but we have other indications she got to a certain age, so that's how we know she's an adult. So you don't even need the siu, you don't need the simen if you have other ways of knowing that the person's an adult. So therefore he says that shanim and simanim are only simanim and not sibas. What about the kashra signs of an animal? So he says the kashra signs of an animal are also simanim. They're not sibas. And he says, I'll bring you a raya. Because we learn in the Gemara in Bechoris that if a tamei animal gives birth to an animal who has simanei tara, the animal is tamei. So if simanim were a siba, then the animal should be tar, because it has simanei tara. But since it's only a siman indication that the animal is kosher, if it has simanei tara, it's an indication the animal is kosher. But here we know for other reasons the animal isn't kosher, because it was born of a mother and also a father, because it says in the Gemara that a tamei animal can't be impregnated by a tar animal, so it must be both parents are tamei. So since we know that this behema baby's parents are tameim, so the animal itself is also tamei. It might have simanei tara, it doesn't matter, because those are only simanim, but we know for the indications that it's tara, but here we know for other reasons that it's not tara, and so too vice versa. If an animal is born without simanei, if an animal is born of tara parents, and it doesn't have simanei tara, the animal is tara. So if it was a siba, so here it doesn't have the siba, it doesn't have the simanei tara. But since it's only a simen, so you're right, it lacks the simen, but we know for other reasons the animal is kosher because its parents are tarin. So he said it must be that the simanei tara are simanim and not sibas. Now, the Ma'arit decided that both shanim and simanim of a child and the simanei tara of an animal are simanim and not sibas. The only problem is that it's not so pashut that what he's saying is true. Why? Because first of all, he seems to contradict himself. Because he said that, you know how I know that the shanim and simanim of a child are simanim and not sibas? Because it's not written in the pasuk. It's only written in the pasuk big and small, gadol and katan. It doesn't say shanim and simanim. So therefore, they must only be a siman and not a siba. Mashma, if it would have been written in the pasuk, would be a siba. So now let's learn about animals. The simanim kashrus of an animal are written in the pasuk. Aha! Everybody says, if the simanim of the animal are in the pasuk, it's mashma, it should be a siba. So according to the logic of the Maharit, the simanim kashrus of an animal should be a siba, not a siman. Not only that, but the raya he brought, that it's a siman, the simanim kashrus of an animal only simanim and not sibas, is also shver. Because what was the raya? The raya is, look, if you have a tamei animal who gives birth to an animal that has simanei tara, the animal remains tamei. Why? If it was a siba, it has simanei kashrus. So it must not be a siba, it must only be a siman. And therefore, since we know for other reasons the animal isn't kosher, because its parents aren't kosher, so therefore, this animal is also not kosher, even though it has the simanei kashrus. But if it would be a siba, the animal would be kosher. But the answer is, to that raya, im ladin, yesh shuva. If that's his logic, then you can answer as follows. Says the Or Avraham, that if you look in the Gemara, in the Taras Kohanim, rather, in the Medrash, this is learned from a pasuk. It's Gzeiras HaKosev. There's Gzeiras HaKosev that if an animal is born of a tamei animal and has simanei tara, the animal is tamei. If an animal is born of a tar animal and it doesn't have simanei tara, the animal is tar. So whatever the parent is, the child is. That's Gzeiras HaKosev. That a tamei animal cannot have a tar animal, and a tar animal cannot give birth to a tamei animal. They have to follow the parent. But that's only in that case. That's only because of the Gzeiras HaKosev. That in that case, that if it has a tamei parent, so then we don't pay any attention to the simanim if it comes out the other way. If it's a mutant, if it comes out without, if it's a tamei parent, then it doesn't have simanei tuma. Doesn't matter. Because there you don't look at the simanim, you only look at the parent. And vice versa, if it has a Torah parent, you don't look at the simanim, you only look at the parent. But that's only in those cases. There is a special Gzeiras HaKosev, where the animal comes out the opposite. But let's say a Torah animal gave birth to an animal that also has the simanei tara. There it's mashma that you do look at the simanim. There the simanim could be sibas latara. When are the simanim not sibas? Only if a tame looking animal is yotzei min haTorah, or a Torah looking animal is yotzei min haTame. There, it's only a simen. Because there, we have a special Gzeiras HaKosev. But if a tar-looking animal comes out of a tar and a tummy-looking animal comes out of a tummy, there we do pay attention to the simanim. And there, what makes the animal kosher is the simanim. The simanim are really sibas l'tarasa. Because there, the Gzeiras HaKosev doesn't apply not to look at the simanim. There, we do look at the simanim. The simanim could be what causes the animal's kashrus. Kum tois. It emerges, my sweetest, most delicious friends, that it would seem that according to this, that the simanei tara of a behema are not merely simanim. They are not merely signs. They are sibas. They are the cause. That's what makes the animal kosher. If you have a tar animal that was born of a tar animal, you know what makes this animal tar? That it has simani tar. Not because its parent is tar, but because it has simani tar. That's what makes the animal kosher. If it wouldn't have simani tar, it would also be kosher for another reason, because the xeris hakasuf, that if a yitzel tzei min atar, it's tar. And if an animal doesn't have simani tar, if it's a tame animal born of a tame animal, it's tame because it doesn't have simanim. But if it would be born of a tar animal and out of simani tar, it would be kosher for a different reason. It would be kosher because its parent is kosher, especially if there was hakasav. But if it's born, a tame animal is born of a tame animal, it's not kosher because it doesn't have simanim. That's the siba. So if we say this, now we can understand why it says snapir and kaskesis lahagdil Torah lahadira. Why do you need both simanim? To tell us that these are the sibas latara. The Torah is telling us the emes. The emes is that what makes, what creates the kashrus of this fish? It's a very fishy topic. Oh, that was bad. What makes the kashrus of this fish? What makes the kashrus of the fish are the simanim of the sapir and the kaskesis. They are sibas, not simanim. And therefore the Torah didn't mention the simanim given by the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. If it has a sharp head, if it doesn't have a chut hashidra. The Torah doesn't mention that because those are only simanim, those aren't sibas. And the Torah only mentioned the sibas latara, that's lahagdil Torah lahadir. The Torah is telling us what defines, we want to know the truth. What defines a kosher fish? Not what indicates to us whether or not the fish is kosher. But what creates the kashrus or the lack of kashrus of the fish? The answer is snapir and kaskesis, yes. No snapir and no snapir and kaskesis, then no, it's not kosher. And it said kaskesis, and it didn't have to say snapir. Because we know if it has kaskesis, it automatically has snapir. So if we're just telling us how you know it's kosher, kaskesis would have been enough, but the Torah wants to tell us more. Not only how you know it's kosher, but what makes it kosher? What makes it kosher is both the snapir and the kaskesis. And the fees there, now we understand the Kal V'Chomer. What was the Kal V'Chomer? Rashi said that if it has one simen, it's not kosher. Certainly it has no simanim, it's not kosher. And we said, what sort of Kal V'Chomer? If it doesn't have two simanim, it doesn't make the cut. So what's the Kal V'Chomer that one is better than none? The answer is, if they were just merely simanim. So then I understand that there's really no Kal V'Chomer. It doesn't have simani kashrus. Mali that it has one. Mali that it has none. So there's no difference, there's no preference of one siman over no siman. So what's the Kal V'Chomer? Why is one better than none? Because these simanim are sibas, not simanim. They're not just indications to us. If they're just indications, then we've no indication whether it's kosher, whether there's one or none. But if they are sibas, so one has half a siba. It's halfway there. So, if a woman's almost pregnant, so you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. You know what I mean? We almost made the playoffs. You almost made the playoffs, but you're going home. You didn't make the playoffs. So at the end of the day, the animal isn't kosher, whether it has one or none. Yes? But here, since we're talking about a siba, it certainly got closer. It got just mamish a half a game out. So in the end of the day, there's a difference between being a half a game out of the playoffs and 80 games. 80 games like my beloved New York Mets in the 1970s. Okay? So they would be, 34 and a half games out of first place. So there's a difference between being 34 and a half games out of first place and a game out of first place. So you're right. Both teams, Ness and Martin, are going to get into the playoffs, let's say, depending on how many teams they allow into the playoffs. I don't really follow baseball anymore, but I think that they allow a lot more teams into the playoffs these days. You know, because of the financial crunch in the world, they have to, generate more revenue. So, if you're closer, if they're sibas, then you're closer. You're almost there. It's halfway there. Halfway is better than none. It's closer than none. So pregnant, you are, you're not. And if you're a guy, you're definitely not. But in Simani Behema, you can be closer. Because these are sibas. So you have half the siba being kosher. So now, we understand the Kal V'Chomer. Kal V'Chomer is If it has one siman, which is half a siba, so it's sort of half kosher, so in the end you can't eat it, but it's halfway there, then certainly if it's no way there, then it's not kosher. So that's why it's not like edus. Edus, if you have one, one is zero. In many cases. If you need two, then one is zero. But for Tvar Erva, like Gemara says, Harod Tvar Erva B'chavero. You're going to come to the Beis Din. And you're going to say that you saw a Ploni with Almonius. What are you opening up your mouth for? It's not going to help. It's just Motzi Shemer. Go to him, learn Musar with him. Learn Hilchos Shmir Seinayim. Very, very important. But don't go to the Beis Din because one and zero and Eidus are the same. But here, it's different. Because these are Sivas. They create the Tower of the Behemoth. And therefore, one is better than none. And then to that, we have the Kasha. That, Einon Shimon Adin. So how, in fact, do you punish for zero if you only learn from a Kal V'chomer? So what I alluded to earlier, this is my Rebbe, Zev Klein. So he's a Magid Shir for many years in Torah's Moshe. I never learned in Torah's Moshe, but I used to learn in his house many, many times. He was, I was a Ben Bais there when I was a young yeshiva student, and his family is one of tzaddikim. So in his Nachalas Tzvi, which Mamish came out a week or two ago, 2-3 weeks ago, time is flying, but I saw him at his daughter's wedding, and he said, tomorrow my Sefer's coming out. So I sent my sons in Harnof. I said, you got to go to his house and pick up his Sefer. They went to his house and picked up his Sefer. So there he uses this Chakira of Simran Asiba to answer the Kasha of the Magid Mishnah, Ein Onshim and Adin. How do you give somebody a punishment for eating an animal with no Simanim? Just to conclude this portion of the Shir with one more note, that I saw in the Sefer Hadar Yaakov from Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer, he pointed out to me a Rambam in the Maariv Nevuchim. It's a big discussion, a big ding in the Achronim. Simen, Sive. So he says the pell of it all is that nobody even points out the Maariv Nevuchim. It's Mefurish, the Rambam, in his Maariv Nevuchim. Here I have the wonderful new translation of Professor Michael Schwartz. Pchelek Shlishi Perek Memches. Veda, Shasimanim Eilu Kvoma Halas Geiro Prasa Shesuas Bebehemos. These Simanim. Chewing its cud and having split hooves, vasnapirim vakaskasim bedagim, and the scale, fins and scales of an animal, of a fish, ein mitziyusam sibas haheter. The fact that they exist is not what causes the heter. V'lo headram sibas haiser, and that they're lacking isn't what causes it to be yasser. Ein ze ela simen shebo makirim es haminam ashivach me'aminam angune. It's only a simen to know what's a good min, what's a good type of kosher, and what's not kosher. So here the Rambam shtait mefurish that it's a simon and not a siva. So in another sefer, he wanted to say hope shot in the Rambam that it's a based on the understanding that it's only a based on the understanding that it's a siva, but it's not true. You can't say in the Rambam that it's a siva because the Rambam writes mefurish in the Maariv Nevuchim that it's only a simon. So this Chakira, which is discussed and analyzed so thoroughly in the Achronim, is really, we have here a source in a Rishon, we have a Rambam, that tells us that the Simani Kashrus are only Simanim and Atsiva. So we were saying Pshat and the Rashi, so we wanted to say, based on our Pshat and the Rashi, so there's Sivas and not Simanim. So the Rashi isn't bound to the Maariv Nevuchim, Rashi doesn't have to hold like the Rambam. But it's just interesting to note, a good Ha'ara, a good Yediya, that according to the Rambam, Simani Kashrus are Simanim and not Sivas. At the end of the Parsha, the Torah tells us that we have to know how to be Mavdil, Bein HaTomei, Ubein HaTor. When you're dealing with animals, you have to know how to be Mavdil, you have to know how to distinguish between an animal that's Tomei and between an animal that's Tor. I was on my way home from shul this morning. I walked home with my upstairs neighbor of Tuvia Lifshitz. And at first we saw some very sweet children. And he said, Hayaladim Hayomim Kumo Beneni Vim. They're like the old time, the sons of the prophets, the pure, the holy. Today we're Baruch Hashem, raising a generation of very pure children. You see, people have she'ifas for Kedusha. Very, very beautiful. And then I said to him, Nu, Harav, ma tomer parashat ha-shavua, parashat shmini. He said, you know, the pasuk that really grabbed me, he said, was this idea of being mavdil, being tamei letar. In our generation, we see that we try to be matar a lot of things. They try to make in Israel kosher movies, kosher literature, kosher tiulim, kosher television, kosher theater, kosher music, kosher, kosher, kosher. And it's all from their pure motivations. People really want to purify what used to be impure, the movie theater. They want to purify it. However, it's not so pashut. We have to know in life how to really distinguish between tameh and tar, between kol ha'avdil, ben kolish l'chol, ben or l'choshech, ben Yisrael la'amin. We have to know how to be mavdil. And it's not so pashut. When he talked about the B'nai Nevi'im, he was obviously referring also to his son, one of the Kedoshim of Merkaz Harav, together with the other seven Kedoshim, very, very pure. And these were people who really knew what to take in, not to close themselves off completely from the world, but to only take in what's really pure. And what isn't pure, not to take it in. To be very wary, to be very careful of all those things that look kosher, like the Chazir. And the Chazir says, look, look, I'm Afris Parsa. Look, I have split hooves. Look at how kosher I am. Mafris parsu. However, gera lo yikar. That's the danger of the chazir, which wants to show you that it's kosher, but it's really not. It has one siman. And if we say that the simanei kashrus are sivas and not really simanim, they're mamish the sivas for the kashrus. So you have to have them both. Being close might be a little bit better, but it's still not enough. You have to have them both. So in order for something in this world to be kosher, why have a kosher movie? It's got to have everything about it has to be kosher. Some might be more kosher than others, but that still doesn't make it kosher. It still didn't make the cut, if you will. And that applies to everything. It applies to secular education. It applies to literature. It applies to our general openness to the outside world, to the secular world. We have to know what's kadosh. And what's not? There's a famous expression of Rav Kook. Hayashan yitchadesh, v'hachadash yitkadesh. What is old will become renewed, and what is new will become sanctified. We have to make sure that it's really holy. It's well known that Rav Kook spoke at the inauguration of the Hebrew University, and he said, "Upachad v'rachad levavech." He talked about how you can both at once. The pasuk says in Yeshayo, be fearful and have an expanded heart. On one hand you're afraid, on the other hand you're excited. He says, that's the way I feel about this university. On one hand, I'm afraid of what could be. Scary, you don't know. On the other hand, I'm excited. Great things could come out of it. Unfortunately, he was very disappointed, as related by Moshe Tzvi Neria, when he found out that they were teaching biblical criticism. That didn't get him so excited. But we have to know what to be makarev and what to be merachik. Some people even try to be makarev biblical criticism. Famous Rabbi Breuer, who tries to show through the works of he uses the principles of the Bible critics, and he just starts with a different premise, and he comes to a different conclusion. His premise and conclusion are that it's divinely written. It's written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, but look at, since you see different styles, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to express different things to us. Not that Chas V'Shalom, they're different authors. But one author trying to express different things. So he tries to be in the kind of biblical criticism. So it is not for a small person like me, a little pushin, to decide yes or no. But what's clear is that, as Rav Lifshitz said, we have to be very careful to be mavdil ben atame le ben atar, to know what is pure, to know what's not pure, to know what we can be makariv, to know what to be merachik. Not everything in this world is kosher. You can have a newspaper, they have here in Eretz Yisrael, they have newspapers filled with pornographic pictures and advertisements trying to get people to do averas. And they also have a column, they have a Dvar Torah in the parasha. So look, it's kosher. Problem is, it only has one siman of kashrus. But everything else about it is treif. There's a famous story of a woman who had to eat chazir. So she insisted. She said, listen, the doctor say I have to eat chazir for pikuach nefesh. You have to shecht it for me. I wanted to have a kosher shechita. So they went to the Rav and they said, this woman, the Meshuggah, she wants us to shecht the pig. Not going to make the pig any more kosher. He says, listen, if the woman wants you to shecht the pig, shecht the pig if it makes her feel better. A little crazy, but shecht the pig for her. If she has to eat it for pikuach nefesh, if it makes her feel better, do it. Fine. So they go ahead and they shecht the pig. And then they look at it. And the problem is there's a lesion in the lung. So this lesion might cause it to be a treifa. So the woman says, no, I want you to bring it to the Rav. I want the Rav to paskin whether or not the lung is kosher. If the lung isn't kosher, the animal's not kosher. But they said, but it's chazir. Whether he paskins that it's kosher. She said, that's what I want you to do. She goes, they go to the Rav, they tell the Rav. And the Rav already was exasperated. He said, listen, if you want to shech the animal for the woman, shech the pig for the woman. But that I should paskin that a pig is kosher. Then I look and I say, oh no, the Reyes Beseder, the lesion's okay, it's fine, it's kosher. I can't paskin that a tomato is kosher. So you have to be very careful about that in life. Not paskining what's treif is kosher. And that's a very big nisayon in this door. In this door, Baruch Hashem, we have young people with she'ifas for kedusha. You just see people want kedusha. You see that in the dress. These aren't just externals. I think it's really an expression of something much deeper. In my time, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, not even so long ago, even after my time, I would say, who walked around with payas? Who was wearing a gartel? Today, you see all types of people, not only Hasidim. You see all types of kipot srugot, and all types of charedim, and all types of people who have long payas. They're proud to be Jewish. And I see them with their gartlich, and you see them wearing tefillin at mincha, and you see them shuckling back and forth, and you see them learning Pnimiyas HaTorah, and learning Zohar, and learning Ari, and learning Maharal, and learning Rav Kook, and Rabbi Nachman, and the Sfas Emes, and Reb Tzaduk, and there's mamash a thirst for Kedusha. And that it's such a beautiful thing, and it should only continue, and I should be zocha to be part of that. We should all be zocha. However, we have to remember that trying to be makari of everything, trying to make everything pure, trying to make the Lowe's Theater on 83rd and Broadway pure isn't such a simple task. I think it's still there. It was in my time. So, we have to be very careful. So as the Pasuk says in this week's Parsha, we have to be Mavdil Ben Atame O Ben Atar. And it's interesting, now we're the week after Pesach. We know that Pesach is called Pesach. Why is it called Pesach? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu jumped over the houses of the Jews. That's a funny name for a holiday. If I would call it Pesach, you would tell me what to call it, I would say it's the Chag HaCheiros, Chag HaNeflos, the holiday of wonders, the holiday of miracles, the holiday of freedom, the holiday of liberty. Give me liberty or give it another name, give it a highfalutin name. What? He jumped over, he skipped over. Why does the Torah, that's what expresses the essence of Pesach? Because during Makas Bechoiris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over the Jewish people's houses and only smelt the mitzvah? That expresses the greatness of all of Pesach? So Rabbi Yerucham Mimir, the Mir Mashgiach, he says everything is taluy in Havchana. The secret is Havchana, to distinguish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguished between the Jewish Bechorim and the Egyptian Bechorim. That's the secret of it all. And we have to know how to do that. We have to know how to distinguish not only between the kosher animals and the non-kosher animals. As we read about in this week's Parsha, which is Taka said in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Ki ani Hashem amala eschem eretz Mitzrayim lios le'elokim, v'yisim kidoshim ki kadosh ani, zos toras habehema ve'ol v'chol nefesh chayor meses b'mayim. God is taking us out of Egypt. And now in that context we learn about distinguishing between the animals. And in general, that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's really the yisod of all of our Avodas Hashem. To know how to distinguish. Distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, what is kosher. What does it mean, chametz and matzah? What does it mean? Same letters. Chametz has a mem, matzah has a mem. Chametz has a tzadi, matzah has a tzadi. The only difference between chametz and matzah is a ches and a hay. A ches and a hay is a mashu. That little chipchik of the hay. That little piece of the hay that doesn't touch the ceiling of the letter. And the chesed reaches all the way up and the hay it doesn't. It's a little mashu. And that's the difference between chametz and matzah. The difference between a chi of kares and a mitzvah say doraisa. Mashu. A mashu. And the whole Pesach, we have to be mavchim. We eat the shiurim. We have to be careful. We know that the bread, the only type of matzah that's kosher is matzah that could become chametz. Because it's telling us the soda of havchana, the Mishnah says in Maseches Pesachim, I think Adaf Lamed Hey, in the Laz, la la la. So, only if this dough could become chametz, only then is it kosher for matzah. Why test us? Why not use rice, which can't become chametz? Use that for matzah, and there's no test. The answer is havchana. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be mafkin, he wants us to distinguish between what is and what isn't. There are two se'irim on Yom Kippur. There's the se'ir of La'azazel, and the se'ir that goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We sprinkle its blood. And it's a difference of heaven and earth. One of them represents Esav, one of them represents Tumah, one of them is Nose Avon, Nosam, Avonos Tam. It takes all the sins and it throws it over the cliff. All of our sins, over. We throw them away literally. And the other one, Holy of Holies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What does the Gemara in Yuma tell us about these two animals? They have to be identical. They have to look identical. They're twins. And that's the secret of Havchana. Havchana is that even though they're twins, Halo Achu Yaakov Le'esav, the Pasuk cries. But it's Yaakov Ahavti Ve'esav Sanesi. It's not enough to look at the externals. They're twins. The Seirim are twins. And yet one is Kodesh Kedoshim, and the other is La'azazel. The other is thrown over the cliff. The other one is given to the Sitra Achor Kaviyachal. So this is really our job in life with everything, my sweetest and most beloved friends, to learn how to distinguish between good and bad, between right and wrong. We should be Zochem Yitzhashem, in Parashas Shmini Asmucha LePesach. We should be Zochem to have Hisa'alus, in Ruchnias, and connecting to the Tov, and taking out of the things in this world, Lahotzi Yakor Mizolo, taking things that don't look so Torah and bringing the Torah out. I noticed I was in Shul this morning, and unfortunately we have a phenomenon in the Rova, as in many other religious neighborhoods, where from time to time a kid goes off the derech. So there was a kid whose father is a very chashuv Rav, runs a yeshiva, and the kid wasn't firm for many years. He'd seen without his yarmulke, sitting around smoking cigarettes, talking nonsense all day. And all of a sudden, you see him in shul, see him with a little pelech behind his ears, see him with his hat, he's putting on tefillin, he has his tzitzis, and he's back! He's back, we hope, chas v'shalom. I don't want anyone to get the idea, I'm stressing the chitzonius, that the chitzonius is all that matters. Obviously what matters is the pnimius, what's inside. But sometimes a person wants to make external signs of the internal change that he's undergoing. So it seems that Lahotzi Yakor Mizolo, for a while it wasn't so gishmak what was going on with this person. And now he's back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should be zochet to be mafchim between the external, the klipas that surround some people, and the internal kedusha that every Jew has. And in everything in life, everything we do, we should always be able to distinguish between what's kadosh and what's chol, what's or, what's choshech. And in that schus, we should be zochah b'kar of mamish, that a spirit of purity should enter the world. And lo ye'isa ko'olam el adasas Hashem bilvad, like the Rambam says, that all people will be involved in this das Hashem, b'vias Mashiach tzidkenu, b'meheira v'yameinu, amen v'amen. Good Shabbos, beloved friends.